Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, so glad we're all here tonight. Sorry for the delay. We're on Pacific Coast time tonight. We are broadcasting live from our West Coast secret hideaway, also known as Valhalla Studios. Somewhere deep in the Redwoods Forest, somewhere along the West Coast of America. We will not divulge the town or city or mountain hideaway here. We are in red country, more ways than one. Most Americans only hear about Los Angeles or San Diego, San Francisco, which is really the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But up here in the Pacific Northwest, we have many friends. We have many alliances. We have many patriots who hear this show and who love it and who also are very busy getting ready for any, God forbid, tribulation or economic collapse that should befall our great nation or any kind of a political calamity of any kind. They're ready, and they are up here, in mass, I may add. Don't let the media fool you. They try to snow you and tell you that everybody from Washington to the tip of California and San Diego, everybody is a Democrat. Everybody is a leftist. Don't believe a word of it. When I was a young lad, young up-and-coming buck coming up in the system, I can easily remember back in the 80s when Oregon, virtually all of it, always voted right-wing, or back then it was Reagan country. Northern California has always been red country. It's why it's hated and detested by the capital of Sacramento, where Gavin Newsom is. When I grew up part of the way in Anaheim and Los Angeles, L.A. was also Reagan country back in the day before the hippies and yippies and malcontents took it over. And before we had millions and millions of malcontents come over from the third world to invade it, to be blunt. San Diego is changing. Orange County used to be solid red. Now it's a shade of purple, light shade of purple. Going to flip here soon, much like Texas, parts of Florida. Arizona, where I hail from and normally broadcast from, deep in the mountains there, in the foothills, so to speak, in the mountains. Arizona is really a purple state now, too. So, but having said all that, again, to reiterate, just know that we have a lot of friends up here, and there's a lot of people getting ready for a lot of scenarios, a lot of things. I have met with some very interesting people up here, good people, patriots to the core, as well as develop our West Coast studio. Slow but sure, one brick at a time, like they built Rome back in the day. Oh my God, there's so much news to go over. I'll just start with this. Pelosi is going to Taiwan. And that is huge news because China does not want Nancy Pelosi to go to Taiwan at all. The USS Ronald Reagan Strike Group has entered the South China Sea for Pelosi's upcoming Taiwan visit. Now, this is huge news because China and the United States are building out their military strength around the Taiwan Straits. Tensions rise over the U.S. House Speaker's upcoming visit to that island nation. The American aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan and its battle strike group, including, I may add, a guided missile destroyer, a guided missile cruiser, set out from Singapore on Monday, heading direct to the Taiwan Straits and the South China Sea. We know this from our sources. This is public information. We would never spill the beans or say anything that was classified, of course, on this show. But once it's out there, it's already out there. And I have a way of picking up this intel very quickly through multiple channels and finding it where it's, they try to bury these things. They try to bury a lot of news that we talk about on this show. Well, China has insisted that they're going to do something serious during the Pelosi visit. We shall see. But it is interesting. They are getting ready for war over there. They are arming up. They are making threats daily to the U.S. fleet, to the American people. I mean, the threats coming from China and Russia weekly, lately, have been amazing. Never in my life have I seen threats not coming from underlings or a colonel here or there, a renegade general maybe, at a nuclear facility. No. These are coming from the Kremlin and from Beijing. I have never seen these threats in my lifetime at this level of intensity being carried out. Amazing. Having said that, anything can happen in this world at any time. Know this to be true. As we are marching towards war compared to many people. so glad you are here. Let's go ahead and we've got a few things here in our World War II equipment. We've got somebody that needs to be banned. And they're out of there. Okay. Yeah, when they enter the chat room, sometimes we have some people that like to play games. And that's okay. Whenever you're over the target area, people like to play some games here. So, got... If you come on the show... in the chat room, it's not the public square, and they will be kicked out. So, by the way, we have some people that have that are out there that have recently tried to attack the show and this and that. And I thought it was kind of interesting that they've come out of the woodwork. They're all snakes in the grass anyway. We know who they are, so that's no big deal. But the thing with this social media that we have today, the internet and things of that nature, is you got to be on guard. You got to constantly be watching these things and these tools, these trolls, people who think they are clever or overly clever. They're really not. They're really just Democrats trying to infiltrate the show. But when you ban their IP address from Blog Talk, they can't come on any show at any time, which is the way it should be. There's a lot of things that are happening in America right now, politically and economically and things of that nature. A lot of people don't know that America's already fought China. There's a lot of talk of Chinese military. How they're beefing up their arsenal and everything of that nature. We fought China back in the Korean War, folks. I mean, you know, back in the early 1950s. So it's nothing new. We have veterans today who fought against China, who know it well. So make a long story short, it just seems the timing of these things is amazing. And once again, we're here in the West Coast studio with some old World War II Vietnam era equipment. Let's hope it works well. Let's hope it performs as we're hoping it will. So in this studio, at least. But look, there's a great show that I saw today right before the show. It was a documentary about the Korean War. And it was a really good documentary. I mean, I've never seen this footage and this war material from actual Marines who are talking about these things. And they call Korea the forgotten war in America anyway. It's the forgotten war. It's the war that most Americans never have heard about, never even studied in school. Oh, they've heard about it here or there, but they've never really studied it in high school or college. They've never really delved into it because the teachers and the professors don't want you to know about real American history. They don't want you to know anything about that. And because of that fact, most Americans, I've always told you that their history, their knowledge of America really started for the vast majority of Americans now. It's pretty pathetic. It really started in 2008 when Obama was unfortunately elected as the black Marxist Democrat of America. And many whites voted for him. So they can't say it was a racist thing because many whites were duped and who voted for him. Now, you can't find a white suburbanite today in America who will admit that they voted for Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim, the Kenyan, et cetera. You can't find one. They're nowhere to be found. But, you know, that's where most Americans, and Okay, I will give it a bit of a stretch. Maybe most Americans started in the year 2000. To give it, you know, to give them, to be generous, and we're very generous on this show. But most Americans don't know a damn thing before year 2000. They don't know anything about the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. They know a little bit, little snippets here and there. And this was made famous actually by, you know, back when Jay Leno did the Tonight Show back in the day, and he would go on the boardwalk there in San Diego, and other people have done it too. And he would basically go out there and show people a picture, say, of like George Washington and say, who is this person? And they with a straight face, they really did not know. Some would say Lincoln. Some would say Martha Washington, never George Washington. And I really believe these answers were not fake because I've talked to people before. And I told you a long time ago, if you're talking with a fool, bystanders, people who are looking at your conversation, can't tell who is who and which is which. So having said that, you need to, you know, I mean, most Americans, again, their history references are just terrible. They're ludicrous. They're just beyond stupidity. And here's the worst part. They don't even care. They don't care. Well, get off my soapbox for a moment, get back to the show, right? I was fascinated by these Korean warriors. And at some point, any soldier will tell you that you stop being a soldier, a professional soldier, and you become a warrior, right? Well, they were talking about the Chinese, how they fought. Their tactics interest me. Their people are cannon fodder to them as they were back in the Korean War. And they would send wave after wave at the American positions, right? Army and Marine Corps mainly. And they were telling during the documentary that they ran out of ammunition many, many times. Well, what's the old phrase that we always use, you know, pray to God and pass the ammunition, right? So they were talking about this, and they said that when we ran out of ammunition, the Chinese were trained, and I'm sure they would still do it today, to jump in your foxhole, okay, say you and a buddy were there, and then it was hand-to-hand combat. When they ran out of bullets, and then when the Americans ran out of bullets, and the Americans said we killed them by the boatload, just hand-to-hand combat. And the one guy said, he said that they had a shovel back then. It had three prongs on the shovel. And he said that they used the shovel to bash the Chinese soldiers' heads in, left and right. And he goes, it was gruesome the next morning to see all these smashed skulls of Chinese soldiers, red communist soldiers all over the place. But he goes, that's war, man. He goes, you know, it's either you or them. You're going to protect your turf. You're going to protect your buddy. And you're going to go to town on those mongrels when they come over. Well, very interesting. They talked about how the U.S. Air Force, now back then, before it was called the Army Air Corps, but they changed it right after my dad joined back in the late 40s, it was called the U.S. Air Force. Well, they would launch these sorties over Korea, and the Navy did as well. And the Americans dropped napalm for the first time. And they said there'd be a huge wave of Chinese soldiers, and it just vaporized, and they were gone, man. They were just gone. There were many traps that the Asians tried to entrap American forces, as they're trying to entrap America today. There were many very interesting ways how they would try to ensnare the Americans between, like, two mountain passes. And these were, to me, they were obvious traps, but again, we were fighting World War II manual style, and they basically went in there, and they had to relearn some tactics. They had to learn how sneaky, how deceptive the Asians were, the Chinese, very sneaky. Now, there's many good – it's not a diss against patriot Asians that are in Orange County or all over America, okay, but it just shows you war, and it was a fact. We fought against the Asians, the North Korean military, which was the Red Communists, and also there was the Red Communists over in China. China was itching to get involved in Korea. We did not get near their border like they say, the Yalu River. They came over because they wanted to, and they wanted to engage America. Now, this is their thinking back in 1950, 51, 52. Okay. They wanted to engage us back then on North Korean soil. What makes you think they would not do the same thing today? Fast forward 60, 70 years of their rearmament, them getting stronger, them getting a bigger military, a more powerful military. Back then, they had no ICBMs. Now they do. So don't think for a minute that China or the Asian mind wants to sit back and just make your widgets and wants to bow to you and wants to do your dirty work and that will sit there quietly. No, China has a dangerous, very formidable 100-year plan, which they want to fast forward into 50 years. And really by 2050, they want to take over the world economically, politically, socially, you name it. It's coming. Some big flashpoints in history, folks, are coming, like the Korean War. And these things are going to shake and rattle the world. And I know people say, well, we live in a digital world today. We live in a social media world today. We're so interconnected. That would never happen. BS. It would even happen even more in my book. Because there's all these, they know how to shake up our markets. They know how to shake up your psyche. They know how to shake up your sense of well-being, put it that way. They know. And they're going to be targeting America and our allies, or so-called allies. These things are coming around the bend in our lifetime. And I tell people it's not going to be, you know, a long time away. It's not going to be a lifetime away or 100 years away. These things are coming around, and it's going to be interesting to me and very dangerous at the same time how America handles it. We are not going to handle it well with Biden up there and his regime. Any Democrats don't know how to fight anyway. We all know that. But how we do it, how the collective West handles these things and the Chinese menace, they no longer want to be a paper tiger. They want to be a real tiger now. So keep that in your forefront, not the back of your mind, but the forefront, because these things, these flashpoints are going to be coming at us very quickly in the years ahead. Sounds of war. We all pray for peace in our show. We want peace to prevail. But I always say peace through strength, and we are a world of war. You can only watch the news, and you can glean that from anything. Yeah, once in a while we have people that have attacked the show on Gep. I've already blocked 32 people now, 32 idiots, Democrat morons from my Gap page. And I just, people always say, well, you know, why don't you engage? Here's the thing. My time is very valuable. And though I'll spar with them for a few minutes, if I realize that they're nothing but a troll, you're wasting your time. Don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the wild beasts. I just block them after I give them a couple of passes and move on. Block and move, block and move. Happy to do it because I don't have time to deal with their idiocy. And what they want to do is suck up your time. I call them a time succubus. So all they want to do is suck it up. And they want to get you engaged and involved in these stupid arguments. And then they take a screenshot and they will then send it out to, you know, millions of people, and it's just bizarre. So you don't even deal with those people. I just block them and move, block and move, like, you know, like a good football game, right? You block and move, you gain more yards down the gridiron of America. We're not here to be talking to idiots, morons, or people who think they're so smart. Look, I learn new things every single day, and if you don't, you're a dumbass, because you should be. I mean, a lot of people on these social media things are so convinced of their position. And I always go, look, we'll see about that. Well, what do you mean? Well, we'll see about that. We shall see. I know more about history than probably than they do. I know more about American history or international history. They go, no, you don't. I go, I bet I do. But and it's not about getting the last word. That I don't care anything about. It's just sometimes people are slow because, well, there's a couple of phrases here. One is the concept of the educated fool. The educated fool is the person who believes they know it all. There's nothing new to learn, and they're there to teach everybody and correct everybody on social media. You got that kind of personality, right? That wise ass. They're not really a wise ass. They think they are. They're not really cool or hip or trendy. They're just an annoying moron. that's a card-carrying member of the Democrat Party. You got a lot of those people that are out there. And you get the people that think if it's my way or the highway. If you don't believe exactly what I believe, then screw you, right? And you get the people that are like what I call the single-issue voter or the single-issue social media guy or gal. You have to believe what they say, and you have to say certain things. If you deviate one little bit, if you post something a little bit off, it's not super serious, they go crazy, and they go, Darwin, why'd you post that? Don't you get it, man? This is a serious situation. Very serious. I go, yes, I get it more than you will ever get it. But what you don't get is this. You're never going to impress people, win friends, or influence people by being super Mr. Doom and Gloom 24/7. You're just not. Most people, at the end of the day, want to have a little fun. They want to be a little entertained, and they want to be a little informed. That's the secret that I know that you don't know. Because to reach people, to get into their minds full of mush, or to get down and to drill down those layers in their so-called brain, you got to approach them, especially today with all the distractions. You've got to approach them with a little bit of humor, a little bit of cleverness, some information, maybe a documentary. You got to approach people kind of like that, bite-sized pieces. Most people are kind of new to social media, and if you overwhelm them, they're going to think you're a nut. They're going to think you're a crackpot, and they're going to leave you alone, and they won't reply to you. They'll just write you off kind of like that. But if you're truly serious, as some of these guys claim they are, you're really serious and you want to change the hearts and minds of America, I go, there's a way to do it, but not the way you're doing it. I go, let's look at back in American history. Let's look at the people who actually swayed millions of people. Study those guys who swayed people, who actually won against all the odds. Well, two people come to my mind. One is Ronald Reagan in 1980, and the other is Donald Trump in 2016. Study those two politicians. I will give you a Cliff Notes version right now. Both used humor. Both were loved by the people. Both were not loved by their own parties at the time. And again, you got to be a man of the time continuum space capsule, because Reagan was considered a right-wing candidate in 1980. Don't forget, we were just coming out of the hippie movement, the disco movement, and boy, he was considered Mr. Right-wing, okay? Virtually Nazi material there. Back in 1980, again, the template has changed, okay? And then they said the same thing about Trump, right? But both of those guys used humor, and they used quotes, and look at, you know, like your average Trump rally. What do you see? You see some bravado, you see some jokes, you see some people with red hats. He cracks a lot of jokes off the cuff. He goes way off script like a Reagan did, and they both won. Okay, and they were both told they were both not the favorite. They were not even the favorite in their party. They were told they would never win the presidency. The media was dead set against them, yet they won. So my point in saying that is that if you're trying to do things out there politically in America, there is a way to do it. Fighting with all the people, at least in cyberspace, is not the way to do it, because you're just wasting your time. But you want to get your message out. Always get your message out. Always express yourself by all means. But you don't need to, you want to be an equal opportunity offender. You want to, because that's what Reagan did. That's what Trump did, by all means. And they were both wild candidates in their era and time. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it, America. There's a time and a place under the sun for literally everything, and I do mean everything. So we got a big show for you. It's our West Coast show. Those of you who are out there in radio land, we will take calls. New callers get first in line at 563-999-3437. And we've got already some people on the studio board ready to talk here in a bit. It's amazing, this Pelosi visit. I can't wait to see the fireworks, pun intended. What are the Chinese going to do? What is America going to do? Probably nothing, but the high drama of it, the way it's being packaged to us, is quite interesting. When America sends a strike group over to the Taiwan Straits, that's a serious military measure, and it costs millions of dollars to move a fleet around the oceans. And the documentary, like I was telling you, that I saw earlier today, was the perfect timing before the show. I was just thinking about the Korean War, and there's a 4-hour documentary I was able to watch here in this palatial place. It's kind of near the forest. It's kind of near the ocean. We're up here on the West Coast, secret location. But being able to broadcast here on this World War II, Korean War, Vietnam-era equipment is amazing. I brought it with me, and it's good. It's good to get out of the Phoenix area for a little bit, move and groove over here a little bit, where we have lots of friends and fans of the show. People love the show over here, and all kinds of good alliances. Look, we're so glad everyone always shows up to the show. We're so glad that everyone's here. But getting back to those Marines that were talking there about the Korean War, this documentary should be seen, in my view, by every high school kid in the country. It shows America fighting against the communist menace which they were warned about by Patton, but that's already past hat. So we had to fight the communists again. This time we weren't allies with them as we were back in World War II. We actually knew and realized they are the enemy, and then we started to fight against them in Korea, UN action. But the Marines were talking about hand-to-hand combat and how MacArthur was there, of course, and did an excellent job. And the Chinese, had they not come in, they wanted to kill Americans, and they killed Americans with their bullets in China. We killed lots of Chinese. I know because the stories on that documentary matched perfectly. My uncle, who was an expert machine gunner in the U.S. Army, who was in Korea, and my father was over there too in the U.S. Air Force, but they were there to, they stacked up those bodies, the Chinese bodies, the legend goes, 6 feet high. Those bodies froze in the terrible Korean winter, and the American GIs used them as more or less body bags, cannon fodder for around the base. They killed so many of them. And the Chinese government, the communists, just sent wave after wave of young men against heavily fortified Marine Corps and American positions. They stood no chance. But they still tried to, and they, you know, look, anybody with the AK-47 and a grenade can be very, very dangerous. They were showing the napalm strikes in color, which I had never seen before. Amazing footage. But it goes to show you the world hasn't changed a whole lot since that time and era. Fast forward to Ukraine in 2022, and the Russians are still using World War II tactics over there. But the war is hell. And it really is. It's amazing how the world hasn't blown itself up since 1945, in my opinion. I tell a lot of people, and they'll tell you, I always tell them, we live in la-la land. Enjoy every day. Love your loved ones. This is sort of a fake world, a fake money, fake fiat currency. We live in a wonderful land where you can go into a restaurant, order a steak, and presto, you give them some little green pieces of paper in America of dead presidents, and a steak arrives at your table. It's amazing how that just, that whole concept just happens. Most Americans can find jobs if they want them. There's money out there. If you don't want to work, then you'll eventually be a bum or a hobo or a homeless guy or gal. Just know that for what it is. But it's just, this is still, once we're gone, if ever, then the world will descend, I've always told you guys, into 1,000 years of darkness. Because the only thing really keeping the light on in the world is the American patriots. Now we have our government who's trying to go to war with patriots as well. We're not going along with the global reset. We're not going along with the World Economic Forum. We're not going along with all this crap they're trying to slam down your throat. We're not going along with it. Don't agree with it. It's not the way the country was founded. It's not the way we want to go. It's the way they want you to go. And they don't like our resistance to it. They don't like our attitude about it. We're not following in hook, line, and sinker like most of the world, like good little compliant, shoeless serfs and communist peasants, which is what they want. Well, to hell with that. We have a show to run. We have a country to save. We have patriots that need our help. We have fellow Americans that need our help. And we will do our duty until we can no longer do it anymore. You've reached the Radio Octagon. You have reached the Von Weekend Show, broadcasting secretly somewhere on the west coast of America tonight. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to the show.
I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know.
Yes. Some great retro American rock. Let's get right to the phones. Let's get to the Gladiator somewhere in North Phoenix, I believe. Get him on the line here. Mr. Gladiator, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you all doing?
Very, very good. Out here on the West Coast and the future home of... Now, a lot of people have called me and written me and said, Von Wiehan, are you moving from Arizona to the West Coast? No, I'm not moving. I just have some things out here to do. And once in a while, we've got to get out of the desert. Travel is good for the soul, right? So you got to get out of town once in a while. But I do enjoy it out here immensely. So only the northern part.
Well,
so what are your thoughts tonight, my friend?
Good, man. I'm out here feeding all the Arabian horses, and because my business partner is away.
Nice.
Up in going up to Minnesota, and feeding the restless animals, you know.
Well, somebody has to. I'm glad you are.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we've got our Arabian Pegasus. We should be watching be born here in about 9 months. So
nice.
We're kind of excited for that. You know, doing what we got to do to keep her enriched and happy and all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, I can't believe today Biden comes out and says, well, no, the economy's not that bad. It's okay. Like, what country are you living in? How many aneurysms have you had? Because if you think the economy's okay, then, yeah, you're really out there, brother. You know, like, this is bizarro world.
Yeah.
How come, and, you know, all the signs point to a recession. And, you know, then they point, no, but look at the job growth. And it's like, wait a minute, it's not job growth. We're getting back the jobs we lost from the pandemic. We're not growing jobs. We're just going back to December 2019 job levels. That's all we're doing, you know?
Right.
Job growth. Yeah, well, inflation's through the roof. Businesses are not investing money. And people don't want to even go to work for those shitty wages. You know, they'd rather just stay on the Democratic unemployment because they're willing to pay it. And
mm-hmm.
and we have a president that doesn't believe we have a recession. Interesting. Like, it's all ass backwards, part of my French, right? I mean, it's just bizarre.
It is. That's a great, great word for it, bizarro world.
It is.
It's true.
We are living in bizarro world, man. When an American president does not know the state of affairs are so bad, that he claims we're not headed or already into the recession. We got problems, brother. We got problems.
I know.
What I mean?
I know.
So.
No, you're right. You're right. It's really strange.
How's the West Coast, Northwest Coast? How's that going right now?
You know, it's going great. It's fun to see how the other half lives, right? And it's good to get out of Arizona. A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, you get up here in North Cal and the Oregon coast, even parts of Washington. There's a lot of small towns. Now, you know, Phoenix is like I always call it the Dallas of the Southwest, right? It's like you got Dallas, Texas, and you got Phoenix, Scottsdale, right? So we have like, you know, about 5 million people there right now in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. But up here, these are like beach towns of like 7,000 to 10,000 people, a lot of these towns. They're not mega metropolises, but they live in God's country to me because of the weather. I love the redwoods. I love the mountains. It's like Flagstaff on steroids to me, where the mountains go right into the sea. You know, old millions of years ago, the volcanic eruptions, the earth's crust changing, and everything was being blown up. It's just amazing when you look back and you see this in the flora, the fauna, the most of the people are pretty cool. They're pretty cool. You see a few bums and hobos and homes. Now, we see that in Phoenix every day. When I fly anywhere back east, it's all over the country. You know, you've got your guys that are, you know, maybe down on their luck. They took too many drugs. And then, well, life will kick you in the effing ass if you do that. It will. It'll kick you in the ass and keep kicking you and kicking you until one day when they're 60, they'll finally realize, well, I got kicked in the ass for 50 years. It's because I acted like a loser. It's because I took too many drugs. I never saved a nickel, and I was living in a ditch. Okay, well, you have the freedom to do that in America, right? And I mean, our U.S. Constitution says you have the right to pursue happiness. It doesn't guarantee happiness. Democrats want it to guarantee, but it just says you have the right to pursue any venue that you think is going to make you happy, man, right? So if you think being a bum is going to make you happy, I don't care. No skin off my nose. I'm not going to give you a frickin' dollar. I'm going to drive past you in my motorcade going 80 miles an hour and leave you spinning. You know, we're not going to wait for you or stop. Oh, there's a homeless guy. Oh, you know what? We're tripping over him. That's why I always tell people we don't need more poor huddled masses in America. We have enough, right? We got enough poor huddled masses of all types, of all genres. And they're all over the place, man. Doesn't matter what neighborhood it is. They're slowly encroaching, you know. Right. Now, I read today, Paul, that Miami, Florida has got an interesting idea. They're going to pick up the homeless people in Miami and put them on a sewage treatment island. How about that?
That would be amazing.
Pretty, you know? Pretty crazy. I know. There's going to come a time when they're going to be picked up off the street. We're not going to tolerate too many more. They're going to have to pick them up and put them in a camp or something. It's just going to have to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting crazy, you know, and all the homeless, you know, I wouldn't even mind if all the homeless went over to California. That's, they want the homeless, right? I mean, they're begging for them. They're giving them all the, you know, benefits they want, and they're giving them anything that they need. I mean, I'm surprised more homeless people are not trekking over to California, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're just everywhere now. It's like a disease. You know, when I was a kid, you'd see, you know, your occasional hobo, you know, you'd see your occasional, you know, person down on their luck, right? But normally a church would pick them up or a family would find them, or there were some hardcore hobos. But now it's like people choose this lifestyle. And I just tell them, you do what you want, man. I don't care. Nobody really cares, okay? You know why? Because there's too many of you now. We don't really care. We care, but we don't. In other words, we don't want to see you. If you're begging with a tin cup, do that in the bad part of town. If you come in the nice part of town, expect the police to hassle you a little bit. Expect people to honk at you, and you'll get no respect. And if you think it's funny, well, eventually, you know, someone's going to take even more drastic action. And it always happens, you know, and it's just, look, it's a sign of the times. And this is when times are relatively good. When times get bad, well, anything can happen, you know.
Yeah, anything goes.
Put it that way. Well, you know, if they're not careful, they'll be used for target practice, okay? I mean, capiche,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm just calling a spade, folks. People will do it for sport. They'll do it for fun because they're just – they go, well, the gloves are off now. Time to clean up the neighborhood. You know, there's no more police. They've all been defunded. Everything has been defunded. So now we're the police. And guess what? When we come out of our house, watch out.
I got a great story for you. So there's a town in North Carolina.
Hear it. Mm-hmm.
And did you hear about this story? So there's a town in North Carolina. It had a sheriff's department, 13 one chief and 12 sheriffs, and the city, the town manager was hired by the mayor,
mm-hmm.
and this is a rural town in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and it was literally 60 days later, they all said they tried to work with her, but the cuts were drastic, and she didn't want to help the sheriff's department at all. And all 13 chief and his deputies quit, walked off the job. Now, they're saying
wow.
it's a racist move because the town manager is
of
black
course.
And all the sheriffs are white. But they have documented where it was a hostile work environment with that town manager, could not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
She cut them down back, and finally – you know, the sheriff and his deputies are like, well, if you're going to cut us all the way down like that, we can't do our jobs, so we're done. We're done with you. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
And she's claiming racism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course.
And she's in
of course.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
If you're a Democrat and if you don't have a good argument, you're always going to throw out the race card. It's all you've got. You've got nothing else. You're an empty suit. That's how we view you. We know you're going to come out with the race card. We laugh and chuckle about that, going, it's going to happen. And sure enough, it always does. It's just it's always what – I always say there's a phrase, it's what they do. It's what they do. The Democrats always say racist, and then they lawyer up. The one I thought was funny this week, too, talking about some pop culture news, was there was this Sesame Street theme park. I believe it's in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I guess one of the kids who can barely is probably too short to look out the eye sockets failed to pat the black kid on the head or wave to them. Now the parents want to sue the park. It's got nothing to do with their kid. They found a claim that they can initiate against the park.
That's right.
And now they've been on CNN, and they're going to make, you know, the violence come out.
Yep, and they're demanding to know the identity of the person in the suit.
Yes, about to get to that. They are demanding to know when they get that person, they're going to dox them, it'll leak out, and they want that person, I hate to say it, they probably want that person killed now by a leftist mob. Because to teach them a lesson. Or at least beaten up. Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how dare you? And those kids that are in those suits, it's hotter than hell. I used to know somebody who used to work at Disney World. They go, you can't see. Your eyes fog up. You do your best. Kids run up to you. You don't know who's tugging at your tail. You really don't know. You hear things. It's muffled sound. You can't see every kid that's 2 feet high. And, they said, well, that character, you know, gave a high five to the little white girl, but then walked right past the two little black girls. I'm sure it was not intentional. I mean, I doubt it. I doubt seriously if that person was, doing that systematically all over the park. Then why were they there for years doing this? Okay.
Yeah, here's what it was.
This would have come out a long time ago.
So a woman just to the right of that child wanted the character to grab her baby. And he or she, underneath the suit, was waving their finger, no. And
right.
In that video, the black family's like, he said no to my kid's high five. And the park was like, actually, no, he was saying no because he's not supposed to take any babies and hold them because they can't see. They have furry hands. The baby will slip, hit the ground, die, and then we'll have to close the park down because that family will take, you know, $10 billion from us. So they were saying, no,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take your baby. And the black family's going, he's the no to my baby, my kid, my three-year-old girl. No, he said, no, I can't take your baby to the other white woman he was saying no to. And it was like, yeah, I saw the whole thing, like three different angles. I'm like, yeah, they just make it all about them. It's all about them.
Well, they found another way to sue the park. They have a claim. They love filing claims. Okay. Claims mean money, means you won the Powerball. And you get in front of CNN and the cameras. Now you got the media on your side, the Democrat media. I guarantee you the park is going to settle for a six-figure sum. Could be seven-figure. I doubt it, but it'll probably be the mid 500 grand. It's going to get settled.
I don't think it would be that much. I could see 75 to 100 grand maybe, 125 max, get off our case. You have no case, get off our back kind of payment. Like, you know, your lawyer.
Well, yeah, but with the media involved, you're right. If it was under normal circumstances, I would definitely agree with you. I think because it's been on CNN a couple of times and they're following the story. Remember, they're following. They hire journalists to follow this crap. Because of that fact alone, someone's going to approach and say, hey, to get this albatross, this off our back, we have to pony up a little more cash. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. If it was a quick deal, I think 75 grand would do it, or even 50. But when they get the Democrat media involved, all hell is going to break loose.
Yeah.
Because we refuse to take that paltry settlement. I can see the attorney now. We're going, we demand compensation, and we still haven't known the identity of that terrible racist worker, is how they're going to say it, right? We got to know who that person is. We have to fillet them next and see them next and then get them arrested. Adds insult to me. That's how they operate. That's what I tell right-wing people.
Harass them in public. Yeah.
Don't
have Black Lives Matter right in front of their
children. Yeah. That kid's life is going to be ruined. I would advise them right now to lawyer up, pick out a new name, because you're going to do a name change. Okay? Wink, wink, nod. You're going to disappear. Your old name is going to be gone.
Yeah, here's what would be hilarious. This would be the most appropriate thing in the world right now. We need this. If the person working in the suit was Hispanic or Black, that would be perfect.
You know what? That would be, and it's going to be interesting to see who it was. And even if it was, say it's Black, they'll say, well, he's an Uncle Tom, and you hired an Uncle Tom at your theme park, see? They have an excuse for everything. You're right, though. I would love to see that. That would at least level the playing field a little bit, right? But that's how topsy-turvy America is. America, I told you, is we were a great country. We're now we're still a great place. Don't get me wrong. We love America so much on my show. We want it to be better, right? We want better leaders, much better government, better situations like this, you know. And every kid, just from – you hear it from me direct. In my view, every kid should be high-fived or whatever in the perfect world. But we don't live in a perfect world. I don't really care if they high-five three kids over here, two kids over here. Who the hell cares? Some kids get hugged by Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. Some kids don't. Okay? It's just there's only one Mickey walking around the park. And if you're lucky, if your kid's lucky, bada boom, bada bing. But if not, I'm sorry, your kid's not going to see Mickey that day. So get over it. We have to worry about China, right, and their nukes. We can't always be worrying about these theme parks. But it's summer, and the brawls have been through these theme parks, and I've been watching this mayhem. It's been amazing, Paul. Crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, and, you know, the sad thing is, like, what we're dealing with right now is a failure to communicate. I mean,
that's right. Like what you always say.
Just like the movie. And, you know, they don't want, you know, the worst thing for them, and they should have asked first, because what if one of the Black workers was in that suit? I mean, because, you know, eventually if they were, this thing's going to blow up in their face, and they should have asked, look, we just want to know, was it a Black person? Was it a Hispanic, or was it a white person? They should have asked.
That question they haven't asked yet. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. We're going to follow the story to the bitter end.
Okay.
The Gladiator, folks. Thanks for calling the show, amigo. Have a wonderful night, man.
Have a good night. Bye.
You too. The Gladiator. Great, great call. Yeah, he is right. And these things, folks, are out there. They're in the ether. They're in the lexicon. They're in the water. They're in the Kool-Aid, so to speak. So wherever we go, we see these things, right? And it's just amazing. Well, I call it the duality of man. And it sounds a little bit like this, as you're always a world at war everywhere we go.
Everybody turned up got shot. Some they buried alive.
Ready? Colonel?
Marine, what is that button on your body armor?
A peace symbol, sir.
Where'd you get it?
I don't remember, sir.
What is that you've got written on your helmet?
Born to kill, sir.
You write born to kill on your helmet and you wear a peace button. What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke?
No, sir.
What is it supposed to mean?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know very much, do you?
No, sir.
You better get your head and your ass wired together, or I will take a giant shit on you.
Yes, sir.
Now answer my question, or you'll be standing tall before the man.
I think I was trying to suggest something about the duality of man, sir.
The what?
The duality of man, the Jungian thing, sir.
Whose side are you on, son?
Our side, sir.
Don't you love your country?
Yes, sir.
Now how about getting with the program? Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Yes, sir.
Son, all I've ever asked of my Marines is for them to obey my orders as they would the word of God. We are here to help the Vietnamese because inside every gook, there is an American trying to get out. It's a hardball world, son. We've got to try to keep our heads until this peace craze blows over.
Aye, aye, sir.
Oh, compliments of, I think it's some Hollywood movie called Full Metal Jacket, but somebody sent me that. We get people who send me things all the time from all over the country. We try to give everybody credit where credit is due, and I get MP3s all the time, all kinds of telegrams and emails and little things that people embed, music. So if we play it, it's a compliment to you and your artistry, as they say. Well, you've reached the infamous Von Wehen Show. We are always here on Thursday nights. We're broadcasting tonight from our secret hideaway on the West Coast, somewhere on the West Coast of America, in the mountains by the Redwoods. We're not quite sure where we're at. When you call the show, don't talk like this guy.
Hey,
please.
I was trying to get through on your caller line there, man. You know, this is the dude, man. And just talking about, you know, current events, man. You know what's going on? Our governors, man, the mayors want us to be couch potatoes, you know, because of the virus, man. I understand that, man. You know, so I just sit out there and smoke a J, you know, and try and be mellow. You know, people have lives and jobs and careers, but you can think of me as Agent Zero from the SOFA Security Administration, man. Yeah, Agent Zero, man. I come without war or violence, you know, like Antifa, man. We don't need no violence or war. You know, peace, man. You know, peace, love, dove, man.
Yeah, I'm still the ghost of the most, babes, you know what I mean? I've been hanging out in this attic for like a long time here, you know, and it's getting pretty old. So I took a trip out in the world, and there's a lot of people burning stuff down and going crazy out there. But even being the ghost with the most like me, I got to have some kind of fun anyway. So I tune in to the Von Wehen Radio Show, because I know once I finally get my groove on, that's where I want to tune in the nighttime. It's the Von Wehen Show. He's almost as cool as I am.
It's the Wolfman. Love that. Let's get the Gunslinger on from the great state of Texas. Gunslinger, how are you doing tonight, sir? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
The floor is yours.
Yeah, we're doing about halfway to cooked. You know, get me out of this damn oven. You know, it's like 102 degrees a day around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But here's a good deal that you, I don't know if you, I'm sure you've probably seen the last speech that our great and glorious leader did a couple of days ago. Hello, you still there? Don, I'm still there. Hello. OK. said muted and unmuted. Don't hear nothing. Hello, Vaughn. Hello, Vaughn. Everything's good. Hello, Vaughn. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello?
Hello?
I think we're all talking.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, somehow we're all, we all have this colloquial without Von Wehunt is what it sounds like. I heard my phone say unmuted. Maybe I should interview you. Be more than happy to do so. Gunslinger is one of the most popular callers on this show by name, by listener, and it's been a pleasure working with this show and dealing with people like Gunslinger. Matter of fact, it's kind of like karaoke. You don't want a guy like Gunslinger going just before you. So these things happen. And when it happens to you, you just gladly take it on and say, well, I guess I got to go on after Gunslinger. And that can be a very difficult thing to do. I say good luck, wish you the best when that happens. In the meantime, I'm going to reset my phone and see if I call back into the Von Wehunt show, if we can all get on together the normal way.
Hello, Von, you there? Hello.
Let's try the Gunslinger again. Gunslinger, are you there?
Yeah, how about now?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, great. Okay, because your audio all of a sudden just dropped out, and BTR just dropped me. I don't know. What
yeah, your call dropped on my side, too. I think we're being interrupted again by those damn NSA drones. They're always trying to interrupt. This show has had a history of electronic harassment for quite some time, so we know they're out there. But what are your thoughts tonight, sir?
Oh, yes. They don't want the truth. Yeah, they don't want the truth to be told. But I was going to say, I'm sure you've seen the last speech that our great and glorious leader gave, right? Now, if you look at that speech real close, look at his face. That dude does not blink but about four or five times in a 12 to 15 minute speech. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen it or not, you go look it up.
I have. I've seen it.
You've seen it.
Their
eyes blink every 4 seconds. Every four seconds. Okay? That's over 20,000 times a day, depending on how long you stay up. So,
right.
This guy only four or five times in a 12 to 15 minute speech. Does that not kind of hit you kind of odd? Very odd.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see the look on his face. That's not him. If you put comparison of a picture, you know, from like a day or so ago to this, when he did that speech, it's an entirely different person. Same. I mean, the guy looks like he was doped up on something, okay?
Right.
I mean, when you don't blink, But a 4 or 5 times in a 12 to 15 minute speech, and you're supposed to blink every, 4 seconds or so, something's wrong. Something big wrong. Okay. Now, I don't know if they tried to replace him or there's something very seriously wrong with this idiot, besides having Alzheimer's or dementia. Okay. That's not normal. Okay, you can talk to any doctor. Talk to any doctor. Hell, Google it. That's what I did. But you can see the look on that guy's face. It's completely different. Could it be MK Ultra? What's your thoughts?
Well, the whole Biden story is pretty funny. And that's why I tell you guys, these are very serious things happening to our country. But at the same time, I definitely believe in the philosophy and theory of being a happy warrior. So a lot of people, on a funny note, think that Biden is like an animatron, like it's at Disneyland, or a Chuck E. Cheese pizzeria. They think he's been that he, and of course the Q-tards say he's been, he's in Gitmo, that he's been, that he's going in front of a military tribunal along with Obama. And it's crazy stories that are out there. Many people say that the real Biden, God forbid, passed away several years ago, and this is a body double. Some people say it's for the continuation of the deep state government and things of that nature. So there's a lot of weird theories about his earlobes and his eye sockets and the not blinking. The facial structure looks a little bit different. Now, plastic surgery is amazing, what some of my what some ladies have told me. So who knows what they've done to him, man. We are living in bizarro world, clown world on the political front. And I just tell people, we've seen so many shoes drop in this country in the sense of just weird stuff. And the news is getting weirder and weirder, isn't it? I mean, look, I always say anything can happen at any time. So the whole Biden thing is very bizarre to me, man. But to me, the jury is still out. I'm not quite sure what that is, to be honest. I have my theories, but it's really strange.
It is very strange, but you realize how things can be changed and altered from Hollywood. Look at these crazy movies that they put out. Okay, they look real. They look actually real. Okay, and if you go back and look at the FBI eyewitness relocation program, they still have that. They give you a completely new identity, change your name. You never existed. Your new does. Okay, so is it too far bizarre to say that this guy might be subject to something like that? As crazy as things
it's
are
not.
In this world, country and today. I mean, I look at things very logically. And when you read from medical doctors and everything that you're supposed to blink every 4 seconds or whatever, okay, and this guy goes through 12 to 15 minutes and only blinks 4 or 5 times, and you can see his eyes are dilated, really, there's something wrong with you, okay? And there's something that they're not telling us, which, of course, we know that they lie all the time, obviously. But, I mean, you could just see it. I mean, I'm very observant because, I carry a gun. I'm sure you do, too. I have to be observant. I have to be observant of everybody around me. So when I seen that, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Something fishy in Denmark right there. I'm sure you've heard the old saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. It's so bad. It's kind of funny, actually. Look, they have CGI in Hollywood. They have special effects, makeup artists. They can distort and manipulate information and reality. Just look at what they do to modern-day movies. I mean, they can make you believe anything. They have the power of Hollywood behind them. And, look what they can do just to videos and pics on your computer. They are fantastic at doing that, for good or for evil. So nothing, is off the table in that regard. Everything is on the table. That's why we're a radio variety show. We will talk about that, and no one else is talking about that. Fox News is too afraid to bring it up. They say that's conspiracy theory. You know, so Fox News is, you know, they're pretty good about many things, not trying to diss them too bad, but they're far better than CNN, which always goes to a liberal Democrat panel. Oh, my God, them and their panels. It's like watching a Stalin show trial. Well, let's talk to our panel, Bob, and see what they say. There's never a white male on the panel. It's always real bitter minorities or real bitter women, you know, flaming Democrats that just hate America and they hate middle America. That's always on the CNN panel. They're basically communists who hate the country. Let's call it what it is, you know. They'll never have patriot. The word patriot to CNN is in MSNBC is a dirty word. I hate that. Can't stand it. But you're right, man. I mean, Biden, look, he's a freak in nature. We already know that. But he could be a bigger freak than any of us know. Who knows? What are your final thoughts here, Gladiator? I'm sorry, the gunslinger.
Well, you know, remember back, I think it was back in the 20s of H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds. Look how easy that did and what he did to manipulate people basically around the country, really. Okay, they actually thought aliens were invaders. I mean, just, and it wasn't even TV then. It was just radio. It was just plain simple radio. But people actually thought it's a manipulation of words. This scare tactics, if you want to go call scare tactics. I don't think he intentionally did it, but he did it. I mean, he did. He put the storyline down, and people were freaking out. I mean, literally freaking out, thinking that they're aliens invading. So, you know, with technology today, as it is today, we didn't have that kind of technology back then, but we have it now with photoshopping, manipulation on the computer. A computer, your laptop, hell, you could do anything. Just saying. Go ahead.
I agree. I agree, Gunslinger. Look, Orson Welles did War of the Worlds. War of the Worlds, right? And it scared half the country. They really thought an alien invasion was coming to America to wipe us out. This is pre-World War II, people. Pre-World War II. Gives you an idea of the mindset of people. Now, Orson Welles was very persuasive, great radio voice, a master of his craft. And I've heard that performance before, and it is very, very good. I can see where somebody who didn't know any better would think, man, this is really happening, because he was so convincing that this is happening now. It's going to happen in your neighborhood now. And even today, fast forward to 2022, radio is still an extremely powerful medium. Why do you think the Democrats are always attacking it? Why do you think some trolls come on this chat room once in a while? Some tools, people who are, you know, malcontent. They hate the country. They hate, you know, everything it stands for. They hate the people and flyover country. And they come on Gab, or they go on various social media sites, and they attack, you know, this show. We have our haters that are already out there. They're a small minority of people, but they basically are already out there, and they don't like the callers. They don't like you guys. They detest me. And then we have our people who love the show, and they far outnumber them, 1,000 to 1, trust me. But, you know, people hear things, and they make their judgments, and that's fine. But I say, if it's negative, we don't need to hear about that on my show. Keep your opinions to yourself in that regard. All I want to hear are the cool people calling the show, talking about things that we talk about. We're not here, again, to waste our time talking to people that don't like a caller, they don't like a comment. I say, look, listen to the show long enough, I've always said this, and you will be offended, and you're going to hear something that you don't like, and you got to roll with it, man. Got to roll with it. We're not here to please everybody. We can't be all things to all people either. But Orson Welles and War of the Worlds, my God, that was a – it shows you how the power of the radio, and that power still remains today, Gunslinger.
Well, you know,
is very powerful medium.
Yeah, they actually did that again. I think it was in the late 80s or the early 90s. I forget what – it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Channel 4, and it was a two-hour movie, and it was a continuous news broadcast. I can't think of the name of it. But it had these things
yep.
landing. Remember that? And they said
I do.
They had to put a disclaimer at the front of the movie and during the commercials. But if you didn't see those disclaimers, they were actually having 911 calls coming in across
they
the
were.
Country.
They were, man.
They were.
Yeah, the 911 was called. The police were called. A lot of people
yes.
were freaking out even over that. And it doesn't matter how high tech we get. People are people. And, you know, people are emotional. And they get caught up into things. And they can be swayed. And that's why, you know, during every presidential election, don't they always talk about the swing vote? How millions of Americans can be swayed by a political ad, maybe, or by a candidate speech, or by a radio show. The power of radio. Didn't Trump give Rush Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom, that kind of medal in front of Congress? I'm pretty sure that was the medal. It was a high honor bestowed upon him for his work over decades of trying to move ever so slowly the nation towards the right. And I tell you, this is a long-term process. It's not an overnight thing. Takes decades to do this. Even Yuri Bezdimov, the Russian defector, will tell you to move nations politically takes time, but it can be done. Gunslinger, thank you so much. We appreciate the call, man. Appreciate it.
Stay cool.
You know it, buddy. You too. I'm staying cool on the coast. I know there's a lot of heat waves out there in the middle part of the country. Biden doesn't care about the heat wave. Biden doesn't even care about the high gas prices. This will shock you. The gas out here is about $6.20 a gallon on the West Coast. $6.20, yep. So you got to save your dimes and nickels to pay for that, right? Well, hopefully your town will not be invaded by the aliens anytime soon and that you will survive and to thrive. Hopefully your town doesn't sound like this.
All right, folks, calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
God. Yes, hopefully your town doesn't sound like that. The aliens are out there. The alien invaders are out there. And I've always told you, there have been some declassified CIA reports on the alien menace in the cosmos. It's not Hollywood. It's not what you've been told. Let me tell you, and I think this is one report that makes a lot of sense and really resonated with me. The CIA actually conducted, now how they did this is probably was top secret. They actually did a poll, not really a poll, but it was a study, a research study that leaked out. And they said that there's 10 alien life forms in the Milky Way galaxy, and 80% of them are hostile. To planet Earth, our beloved home, right? Well, I believe that to be true. I've never felt that the aliens, with that superior technology, would people have this fallacy, this stupid idea that they're flying around. They're so benevolent. They're so nice, and they're so easy to get along with. And all they want to do is just help us reach the stars. Right? They want to help us reach the cosmos because there are, you know, our alien ancestors, what some should say. Now, I love those shows, and I find them hugely entertaining, and fun, and they can be partially correct. My point is, no matter how you slice it or dice it, what is the overwhelming evidence of aliens coming to planet Earth if you just believe in aliens for a moment? And if we go by the Orson Welles War of the Worlds radio show, almost every encounter with an alien ship or an abduction case is negative. I have yet to hear a positive case, except for maybe 5,000 years ago when aliens were flying around. They built the pyramids and they built them all over the world. I get all that. At the planet Earth, our vortex sites, our gridiron sites, at our special energy sites. Okay, I get all that. But any new thing that's come out from Roswell from 1947 and on, okay, basically from 1945, the end of World War II, onwards, almost every alien encounter has always been negative. People have been abducted. They have implants found in them, weird things that scientists cannot understand. They're tracked like cattle, probed, God knows what all. Because on those damn spaceships, I don't think they're nice at all. I think they're evil. I think they're hostile. If you can come to planet Earth from a million light years away, I don't think you're here to break bread with us and show us the great cosmos and your wonderful plan for our planet. Your plan's probably to enslave us and screw us over and stab us in the back, in my view. So, yeah, I would be like those military guys smoking a cigar, 1950 style, ready to nuke their ass or send up my bombers or whatever we had to throw against the alien menace. I just don't believe that they're flying around with benevolent intentions. They hover over our ships and they supposedly do all kind of crazy things. They're just fucking with you. They're just messing with you, America, and the whole world. They're just having fun with you. It's a giant psyop if they're real, or if they're not real. They just like to F with you and mess with you, and that is their bottom line. They're having fun doing it. They fly around because they have all this superior technology. Now, supposedly Eisenhower met with the aliens. That's a whole other show. But we will bring, I'm leading up to my punchline, we will bring Joe Montalto back, the UFO expert, sometime this late summer or fall, back and talk about his latest info and intel on the alien menace. You know, I've been emailing back and forth. I talked to many people of different walks of life. So, very interesting. In the chat room here, I'm looking at some notes and some things, really good comments here. And folks, if you're listening to the show, we're on Blog Talk Radio. We do have a chat room, but if you go in the chat room, you can't troll it, man. I have a way to ban your IP address on all of Blog Talk Radio on all shows, and I will do it. I'm very trigger happy, if you know what I mean. If I see one slip up, if I don't know you and you come on board and you're in the chat room and you're being a jackass, you're gone. Don't need you. Don't even want you. Don't need you. Hit the road, Jacks. Hit the bricks, pal. Don't want you in my chat room. It's not the public square. It's not the leftist square. It's the intellectual rights of the show. And it's supposed to be a forum for, I love snarky, clever comments. I love information. I love people who have knowledge and who put out it, or people who just put out a good chat. It's good. Funny is great. Clever is great. If you have a question, pose the question to the audience. Somebody can answer it. Or maybe a funny story. Maybe a story from your, it could be a negative story. It could be things that happened to you a long time ago, whatever. But when you start attacking the show and the callers and the premise of the show, well, then you come against me, and I'm very ruthless, and I will get rid of you. Happily to say that. But look, let's get back to the context of the show. There's so much going on, but let's get – I want to get Lincoln on here, and then we'll get to the Irish Pirate. I believe he's back. But let's first get Lincoln on. We'll crank out some calls here.
Hey,
working on here somewhere in Flyover Country at his secret bunker location. Lincoln, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. I'm actually here, as I told you, on the West Coast here. I've infiltrated the West Coast, and our demolitions are ready. No, just kidding. we're doing okay, man. We are doing great. Just having a good time here tonight, and lots to talk about. So what have you been up to? What's been going on, man, somewhere out there?
I assume you're in Northern California. I can't really picture you in Southern California.
Though I like parts of Southern California. I mean, I love the beaches there. San Diego's still great. Orange County's great. L.A., I do have friends in L.A., but they don't live in L.A. proper. They live on the outskirts. They're ready for the mass exodus of people. They're ready for the Battle of Los Angeles to happen, to be honest. You know, but I've got a few guys that have compounds out there they bought 20 years ago, and they can't move now. They're surrounded. They can't afford to move. They don't want to move. And I go, well, you are the first line of defense for before the Mongol hordes come to Arizona. But yeah, I'm north of there. That's all I'm going to say. I'm north of there somewhere in the woods.
Right. I hear Northern California
prefer the mountains and the woods.
Fully overrun yet. I hear that Northern California is still fairly decent, not overrun yet. Southern and Central California, we know is already completely overrun. And California is a beautiful state. It's the same what happens to that state. You know my thoughts on who ruined California, which is Ronald Reagan, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a beautiful state. You know, it's a shame that a state like that can exist where, you know, a couple cities like Los Angeles can, you know, it's like the state of Illinois. Illinois is a very beautiful state. Unfortunately, the city of Chicago can outvote the rest of the entire state, basically.
That's right. Yeah, California is a beautiful state, and it still is beautiful. Don't let the media fool you. I always tell people, don't forget, it's like Oregon. Oregon's the same way. 99% of the news stories out of Oregon are never about the beautiful mountains, the great patriots that live mainly in the central and the eastern part, and the Oregon coast is gorgeous. But it's always about Portland, always. The Antifa up there and their riots, right? That generated headlines. Same thing with L.A. in California. It's always about L.A. dominates the whole state. And then they'll bring up San Francisco. But those two areas, San Francisco, the Bay Area, and L.A., people don't know this, that back in the day, in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, those were white European middle-class neighborhoods. They were not always radical. They were not. They were areas that were just, the L.A. area was called the jewel on the West Coast. Believe it or not, it was called the jewel, the gem. Not anymore. Now it's the trash heap, right? There are parts of L.A. that are pretty, and I still go out there once in a while. But you have to know where to go. I always repeat people, you got to know where to go. If you follow me, we'll be fine. But if you go down the wrong street, if you go in the wrong neighborhood, you're going to have problems. Because I'll be blunt, you're not the right color, probably, you know, and you don't drive a cholo car or something, so you're going to have problems.
There's something about L.A. I didn't know. I never knew this about L.A. Actually, I was clueless to this until just a few nights ago. I was talking to Stefano, who lives in L.A., and I did not know this. I was completely lost, and I wouldn't have guessed it. I thought L.A. was just completely overrun with nothing but blacks and browns. I had no idea. Maybe you did. I don't know. I had no idea that Los Angeles has the second largest Jewish population in the country. I had no clue. I should have known that with Hollywood being there, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I knew New York had
it does.
I had no idea that Los Angeles has the second highest Jewish population in the country. I had no idea.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, that's a fact. That's a factoid. With the entertainment industry, a lot of media is there in L.A., a lot of media, like New York, a lot of industries are there,
Yeah, Mr. Goldstein does well in New York and L.A. But a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people, I always tell people, you can find, you know, your Shangri-Las wherever you find it. And I know one thing, if you ever find a gold vein or a business that brings in money, stick with it, man. Could be anything. But, yeah, parts of L.A., I mean, there's Huntington Beach, for example, is nice. But, you know, and you've got Newport Beach is really nice south of there. And it's just sort of the start of Orange County, that area. You go north, Santa Barbara's still nice. The coast, Malibu, is still nice. You go to downtown Los Angeles or East L.A., well, I hope you're packing or you're in an armored car, okay, because they're not going to like you probably. You know, you don't fit in. You don't blend in. They've taken over those inner urban ghettos of most of those Democrats. You know, they're taking over, man. The culture, the music, the people have moved in. They've taken over. Now, those areas, I'm half serious, the Battle of Los Angeles. I hope it never happens. We don't want anybody to be hurt, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it does just explode. It's got so much tension there and turmoil, and I know a guy that calls out there a lot on business, talks to lots of people, and they are stressed with the high rents, the high gas, the encroachment of all walks of life, you know, all Americanos, right? And they just can't take, you know, millions and millions. I've always told people our country cannot absorb millions of people being packed into the same densely populated areas, and you're expecting a different result, or you're expecting things to get better. Okay, they're not going to get better.
That actually, you made a good point. You made a good segue right there to my point. What I was going to bring up, I was going to talk about the current state of quote conservative, that's quote conservative politics. There's a couple things I've noticed in the last little while here. You know, they're in gun boomer state in Texas. You know, if you go to Fox News, you watch Tucker Carlson, you watch Hannity, you watch the mainstream conservatives, you know. Don't get me wrong, Tucker's better than most. He's probably the best, but even he's not, you know, he's still kind of a cuck on certain things. But, you know, they're like dunking the basketball, celebrating this big win because they flipped this county, this district in Texas from blue to red because of all these Hispanics that have come there, and you know, they flipped it from blue to red, and that's negative. It shows, you know, that Hispanics are turning against Biden and blah blah blah, and they're all celebrating having this big party because this district in Texas turned from blue to red because they elected a Hispanic woman, well, a Mexican woman named Myra Flores. And do you know that the very first thing that she did once elected was she voted to grant amnesty to millions of her own kind as a, quote, she ran as a MAGA conservative. She called herself a MAGA conservative.
She sure did.
In the very moment she takes office, she votes for blanket amnesty to her own people. And today was the gym. This is the gym. Today was the gym. So she got a lot of flack for that, obviously, from white conservatives, you know, bitching about how you voted for amnesty. Like, how could you be a MAGA conservative and vote for amnesty? Well, she went to Twitter today to accuse everyone of being racist for questioning her. There's your conservative right there.
Yep. Drum roll, please. You're now a racist. Yeah, see, that's what they always do of both parties. And there's people that have infiltrated and that have got into the quote-unquote the Republican Party. And look, we've seen them. We've seen them on Twitter and all kinds of social media. They are for amnesty. And they will tell you, well, they're good, hardworking people. I mean, how many times have I seen Ken Rove on Fox, he's saying, this is just wonderful. This is great. You don't get it, people. We're going to take over the Hispanics. They've been locked down with the Democrats for 50 decades and 50 years and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to grab them this time. They're all going to vote lockstep with us. Well,
Here's the catch that Mr. Roe and others aren't telling you. They will vote the Republican way as long as the Republican way involves amnesty and open borders. And right now there is a growing movement, and the Republicans, they salivate over those Hispanic votes. Now, just for the record, people get the wrong impression sometimes of the show. I like the Hispanic people. I love street tacos. I love fajitas. I love their food. I love Mexican beer. It really is my favorite beer. I love Dos Equis, Pacifico with lime. To me, it trumps our domestic American beers. They're not that great. I've always loved imported beer. Germany or Mexico, my two favorites, okay? So that's just for the record. I like American beers, too. But let me finish my point here, is that the Hispanic people are largely very nice people. I get along with them great. Como, senor, mucho gusto. I get along with them. I get them. And my thing is, a lot of them say, we want to come to America to work. Well, great. Then get the fucking work, okay? Then get the work. Punch a clock. Don't be in our streets complaining. Don't be protesting. You keep telling us you want to work, okay? I've heard that a million times. So work. I work. Work is great. But my point is that these Republicrats, they want those Hispanic votes, and they're going to say, we have to do this to beat back the Democrats. What are your thoughts?
I mean, this is my whole point, is that the two parties really are no different. I mean, what does she do? She gets into office. She grants – she votes for amnesty. Just like Reagan granted amnesty to millions of illegals. She votes for illegals as soon as she gets in for amnesty. And then the very second her own constituents question her, she goes the liberal route and calls them racist. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we're dealing with a thing in my state right here. In the state of Missouri, we're dealing with a thing right now where we have a primary coming up next Tuesday. Like, because Roy Blunt, our rhino that's been there forever, is retiring. So now he's out of the picture. So now we have three choices as far as Republicans go. We have Eric Greitens, the former governor who got Me Too'd until he resigned. He was later exonerated on all these Me Too bullshit charges. So now he's running for the Senate. And then we have Vicky Hartzler. Oh, the funny thing about Eric Greitens, he got Me Too'd by the left until he resigned. And after he got exonerated, now he's running for the Senate. And now the Republicans are Me Too'ing him by using the talking points of the left who Me Too'd him originally. Now they're using all those. Now the Republicans are using those talking points against him to Me Too him themselves. That's how gay it is.
Right.
And then our other coach is Vicky Hartzler. Vicky Hartzler, who Josh Hawley endorsed. And Vicky Hartzler, and her entire campaign is she doesn't back down. And like once an hour on TV, there's Josh Hawley, you know, has a 30-second clip of I endorse Vicky Hartzler for Senate because she doesn't back down. No matter what, she doesn't back down. Well, she's currently in the House. She's running for Senate, but she's currently in the House, and on the fag marriage bill that just went before, you know, in Congress, she abstained from that vote. She doesn't back down. She's a staunch conservative who doesn't back down, and she abstains from the fag marriage bill. She abstains from
God.
But, you know.
That sounds so
okay,
queer.
So she doesn't back down.
She never backs
she
down. Well,
back
sometimes
down,
maybe
she,
it might be smart. I mean, you
well,
like
she
ideally they're just trying.
Down.
She sounds way too tough for our Congress. You know.
Well, the thing is that she literally just backed down by refusing to vote on a controversial bill. She just backed down.
Right.
And then our third
hypocrite,
option is
Eric Schmidt, that's what it sounds like.
Our current AG, and then we have Eric Schmidt, our current AG, and guess what? His entire campaign is based on. His entire platform is stop wasteful spending. Those are my three choices.
Well, I would say about that, you know, the Republicans are famous for getting in front of Congress, right, or the campaign stuff, and they always say, we have to have limited government, small government, and I'm a baby boomer, they'll say, and we got to go do it like this. And I've been hearing that for, you know, my entire life by these boomer candidates. They talk out of their ass, to be blunt. And the thing is, nobody takes them seriously because they've been saying the same thing and nothing ever gets done. They're big talkers, not doers. I'm a doer. I'm a results-oriented guy, which is very rare in America today. Most people like to feel good. Most Americans like to hear things that make them happy. We're like a nation of children. If they don't hear the right thing, they go whine and they throw temper tantrums in the streets, right? But you're right, man. It's really sad that we're, you know, our politics has descended to that level. Both parties, you're right, are the same, very similar. I always say 1 degree of difference, if that, is my favorite line. And I always say that they both want the immigrants to come in. And again, I tell people, look, I have nothing against. Nobody can predict or can control the way they were born. You know, they really can't. If you're born Hispanic, you're a Hispanic guy or gal. If you're born Asian, you're an Asian. If you're a black or whatever, if you're Indian, if you're from Bolivia, I don't know. I don't care. My thing is that both parties want everybody to come over here. And we talked about this, Lincoln, you're right. Whether it's legal or illegal, it doesn't matter to me. It's still massive immigration that we do not need. Most of those people have no skills. They have no degrees. I keep telling people we don't need millions more poor, huddled masses. We just don't. We have enough. I mean, look at California. Look at your state. Go outside once in a while, people. Look around. You'll see homeless people all over the country living in their cars, and they are red, white, and blue, and every other color, you know, left, right, and indifferent. They're all out there. And we have people that are homeless and bums, and we have millions of these people. We don't need millions more pouring in. And that's what's going to blow up in our face, this immigration time bomb, where we only have so much land in America. The problem is nobody wants to be homeless in Wyoming, right? Walking around the mountains? No. They don't want to be homeless or be a bum, say, in the middle of nowhere, Montana or North Dakota. They want to be homeless in downtown L.A., downtown New York, you know, downtown Chicago, downtown Dallas, downtown Phoenix. All the big cities is where they want to be. That's where they get their benefits, right? So it's a mess, Lincoln. It's a mess, man. I tell you.
Yeah, we're in rough shape, man. I don't think there's any voting our way out of this. I think it's literally impossible. We're too far gone to vote our way out of this. I think that, you know, it's like I told you before a long time ago, one of the very first things I said when I called in to like your show for maybe the third time, man, we have our option. We can vote for one party that's driving us straight to hell at 110. Or the other party that's driving us straight to hell at 80 and telling us it's good for us. we're fucked.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, it's so bad. I mean, it's so terrible on such a – on a serious side. My other side of my brain starts to laugh at it and go, it's so bad, it's actually laughable. What these candidates say, what they do. They say, I'm now a MAGA Republican. Vote for me. She gets voted in Texas, and she wants amnesty. I mean, they just look – it's just a bait and switch, folks. It's a dog and pony show. I always say there's two parties in America. There's the party in Washington, D.C., and there's all the rest of us in the country. There could be three or four parties for that matter, but at least there's two that we know of, and there's probably a lot more. My thing is this is not going to last. This is not a – you know, the Democrats have this favorite saying, is it sustainable? You know, if you order salmon, is it sustainable salmon? I mean, that's everywhere I go now. Is the produce sustainable? Well, I take their lingo, throw it back in their face, and I said, is America sustainable? But what do you mean? No, is this country sustainable? You're asking me if all these other – I'm asking you a more deeper question. Are we sustainable? Because they love using that word, sustainable. The trajectory that we're on is not sustainable. Now, I'm not trying to put down America. People don't send me 20 emails, but I can't believe you said that. You're not pro. No, I love America so much. I am willing to critique it and have a show where most people just don't do jack. They don't do anything. At least I try.
Hey,
my thing, you know,
hey,
so.
One more thing. One more thing I was going to tell you. It's really, I don't have a lot for you tonight, man. One more thing I was going to tell you. You're talking about, you know, you block these people on Gab. You know, you get these trolls and whatnot, these, you know, shit libs.
You have to.
Troll you on
you
there,
have to. Yeah.
You really don't. You really, really don't, man. Like, Gab is a free speech platform. You can take the angle I use, which is there's a few words which I won't say on your radio show, but you're allowed to say it on Gab, and you can start using certain words against them, and you can offend them so much that you don't have to block them. They'll get mad and block you.
That's
fun.
Very true, and I know what you're talking about. The only distinction I tell people when they say that, you're right, is that don't forget I'm a semi-pseudo kind of a public figure and you're anonymous. They don't know you from Adam, but they know about me and my show. And that's where thought of that, trust me. And also, whatever I say, and I've seen it before, they'll take a screenshot and they'll put it on Twitter or they'll put it somewhere else. See, look what Von Wien said. Now, I'm not that big of a radio show or guy in the sense of that nature. There's far more successful people than me that are out there. But my point is, I've got a little following. I always call it a little following. I know it's a lot bigger, but I just say that. My thing is, whatever I say, and I've noticed this, gets out there. It does get out there. So that's the difference. I can't be doing that. So that's what I mean when I say it's easier for you guys to call the show or say certain things, and I simply provide the platform and the forum for you guys because you're anonymous. They don't know you. Yeah. I mean, and even on Gab, I tell people comment on my Gab post. I don't care. To me, the more free speech there is, the better. And I believe everyone's got a right to express themselves, as you know. And that's how I've always operated. And to me, America needs way more free speech and way more political free speech, by the way. And so, yeah, so that's why me as a host, I've got to be like, okay, I'm a host. I'm in that role, right? I'm wearing that hat. So I got to be a little more, there's more of a minefield for me than there is for you. But Lincoln, always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great night, man.
Yeah. Have a good night, brother. I hope to see you on Telegram.
Thanks a lot, Lincoln.
Man.
I'm going to, man. I'm hoping to make it here soon when I get some things, some loose ends tied up here. All right?
Got you, brother. Hail victory, brother.
Hail victory. Lincoln, folks, from Flyover Country. Yeah, you can come on the show and get your points out there. I like that. Well, we'll get back to some more calls here, I promise you. But right now we have a little adult beverage break. So get a cold one. I'll be right back. Here's a little Tom Jones for you.
Well, you don't know how much you mean to me. I said goodbye. You say upon that rainy day, please set me free, 'cause I don't wanna know. Well, you don't know how much you mean to me. I said goodbye, I left you there to cry.
That was Tom Jones, the lonely one. Well, no need to feel lonely if you're out there. You've got the Von Weehunt Show. If you're out there in America and you're not quite sure where to turn, maybe you're a young patriot. Maybe you're a gun owner. Maybe you're a rancher, a farmer. You're in the gridirons of America. Maybe you're surrounded like our friend Stefano in downtown Los Angeles by militant hordes who want to shank him. Wherever you're at in this world, wherever you're at, you hear the show, you hear the clarion call, you're always a member of the Von Weehunt Army and Special Forces, our radio army, our cyber army of online digital warriors and radio listeners. We love the medium of the radio and the airwaves. As a kid, I used to love and just listen to Art Bell and all kinds of good shows, Tom Likas and all kinds of local radio, which is often very, very good and underrated. But you got a home here, and I strongly believe that America needs more political speech, not less. And don't let any Republican or Democrat tell you, you can't say this and you can't say that. Look at what they do. I always say actions speak louder than words. Look at their actions. Their actions go against the grain of what you represent, of what you think. If it's an old-time boomer philosophy, for example, of letting everybody in the country who wants to come here, that worked for a while. And don't get me wrong. I always tell people, America is the most generous nation in the world when it comes to immigration. But we're fast approaching, well, we're past the point of no return, to be honest. But we're fast approaching the point where the straw breaks the camel's back. And we see this in our water supplies. We see this in our traffic. The gridlock is terrible in many of our large cities. Now, I'm not by a large city right now. That's one reason why I came up here to get some, fresh ocean air. No traffic. It's just enough traffic and just enough people up here on the Oregon and the California coast to make it interesting. You know, you see enough Northern Cal, especially underpopulated, thank God. And hopefully this show will not get the word out. It's a beautiful state, Oregon and California and parts of Washington, all the West, Montana, Idaho, Northern Arizona is very nice too. But in our big cities all over the nation, they're just packed with people. And everyone's trying to, it's like it's a rat race, and it's a never-ending rat race. You're always fighting cars behind you. There's always somebody that's trying to ride your bumper, or they're driving with no insurance. You've got one mishap after the other. Everywhere you go, there's a frickin' line. Can't even order a sandwich, or you wait in line to go into the restaurant. You wait in line to pay. You wait in line to get into your car. You wait in line in traffic to go home. We have too many people in this country that are affecting the quality of life. We never used to have that before. You know, as I told you before, since we're talking about the West Coast tonight, California used to be Reagan country when Reagan really, when he stood for something back in the day. And I personally like Reagan. In his time and era, he didn't do everything I agree with. He did not. But he was a radical guy of his time and era when he was governor of California, then he ran for president. And when he got shot, he never was the same again. He went left. And that's when he signed the amnesty bill, I believe in 86 or 87. But before then, he was a firecracker. And the left hated him for it. And he galvanized the country. California is no longer Reagan country, but there are parts of it that are in the northern tier
where there's rugged mountains like Afghanistan, deep, deep forests, lots of cabins, Oregon too, and this part of the Pacific Northwest, really which starts where the redwoods start, and they go all the way up to the Canadian border. It's an amazing place. But we have a lot to be thankful for in this country still, and I always tell you folks to prepare. Just get ready right now. We're in the information war. Watch the news. I watch it with concern. I watch it with a smirk on my face, knowing the leftist playbook by heart. I know what they're going to say before they even say it. And if you start watching things real closely, you can see the writing on the wall. You know what I mean? Let's get to Irish Pettit, our tech wizard, who called back. And hopefully he's there tonight. Mr. Pirate,
absolutely.
Are you there? Nice, man.
Absolutely.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, it's a muggy one out here. I'm feeling good. Cacao Kelly has four children, and I'm going to get together with a couple of them and play some poker, as it turns out. This upcoming
good.
Weekend. I'm looking forward to that. That's never been
You'll
done
teach
before.
Them all
I think
your
I'm
tricks.
Finally reaching somebody. my
poker's
concern,
a man's
like
sport,
about,
by the way.
Mm-hmm. It deals directly. What I'm going to be teaching them is what we need to learn here in America, actually, is that you were talking earlier about how Americans want to feel good. Boy, is that
yes.
a mistake. To actually have somebody else tell you something to make you feel good. That's got to be insane
That's right.
to me. Because what Americans really deserve, which would make them feel good for real, is the truth. And we've said this before, but I like repeating this one. A science fiction writer said this. The only difference between the truth and a lie, as both of them will hurt you, is only one of them sticks around to help you afterwards. So the truth
right.
is the only way you're going to find peace. The truth is the only way you're going to find any form of solace in a very crazy world. And yet people are still waiting for somebody to tell them what they want to hear. Well, effectively, that is a lie. I mean, if you want somebody
mm-hmm.
to tell you that we're not going to go into World War III because nobody's that stupid, you're lying to yourself. If you're trying
mm-hmm.
to tell people that, I mean, I'm getting up there in age. I'm over 50. I can tell you that the sky is not as blue as when I was younger. And it's not because I'm depressed. I'm not. It's actually
mm-hmm.
that I can see that. I know what the colors are. It's pretty amazing that people don't understand this. I work outside a lot at night, and I can tell you that the insects here are like somewhere between, I don't know, 60 and 90% down. They're out there if you try hard
mm-hmm.
enough. If you shine a light, they might attract to it, but it's not going to attract a swarm like it used to. And so, therefore,
right.
the bug eaters aren't out there and the predators that eat those. And eventually, that's going to come full circle and get you is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the plants won't be supported. And that's exactly what's happening now. And it's been going on for quite some time. So giving you a great example of something that just happened this week that was completely fake, because that's pretty much what I end up talking about in all of our latest discourses. Something is
mm-hmm.
so fake that we just go like, somebody has to know this is going on. Well, the latest one came from TV3 in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It didn't come out on the TV. It came out on their website.
Okay.
They posted the winner of the upcoming primary elections. They posted
really?
The winner. Now, yeah, and their elections are just like ours here in Arizona, not due until
mm-hmm.
August 2. Yeah, well, same
okay.
thing there. And so that in and of itself is kind of funny. Okay, maybe they're
mm-hmm.
running. They claim they were running a test. I don't know about you, but if I was running a test, I wouldn't put the real names up. You know, we'd have Joe
right.
Blow, yeah, versus Patty Cake or something, and everybody would know that it was just a mock. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
But then even worse, to make it obviously a lie, they refused to say exactly when they had it posted. You know, they just said
right.
prior to the election we were running a test. We need to know exactly when the test that you ran was not the official results, because it won't be long after the official results that you're not going to be able to tell the official results from your stupid test. So you might want to
Right.
put when that date was, just in case. They refused to do it. They made several references to it on site, and they refused to put a date up. So that tells you there's a lie there. And then last but not least, of course, out of all the candidates that are up there, whoever leaned the furthest to the left, those are the ones who won handily. And that's, it was pretty much a wet dream for a leftist is what it was, what they posted up there and called it a test. Now, whether it was real and that they were actually planning on faking it with this mask, which many places have done, I know of since 1970, there's books out there on the subject. My favorite one being Vote Scam, The Stealing of America. I don't even know if that book's available anymore. I don't even know if I still
right.
have it anymore. Yeah, I might have given it away. Somebody didn't get it back. I might have borrowed
yeah.
it forever. But the book itself definitely explains that back in 1970 anyway, the most common way they faked elections was through the news projections. In other words, one of the stations, whether it be national, whatever, everybody would just kind of tap their chest, if you will, this year it's going to be us. Everybody else is going to follow us, and we're going
mm-hmm.
to tell you what to say, so everything mimics. And at first you want to barf on that, but remember, I used to be in the Associated Press. In 2001, I became a member. And, of course, in 2001, I undid my membership because I can't stand those people. But they have this thing nowadays called a style book. I don't know
right,
if you realize that.
Right.
That's what they call it. That's the tool of the
I
trade.
I heard that. Yes. Yes, I've heard that.
Okay. I don't have one.
God.
I wouldn't mind having one now. It'll be outdated pretty quick. But at least they have a style book. And the style book basically mm-hmm. is every time they talk about certain hot subjects, it tells them exactly what to call it. And the big major victory that happened for us, we the people, I think it was a week ago or so, the style book
mm-hmm.
made a change on a very important issue that we've been discussing, which is so-called assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
They said never use that term anymore on the air. It's going to be gone unless somebody didn't read the book. And
that's right. It
takes
that's
time.
Right.
Well, it's a big win for anybody who's pro 2A or a gun lobby kind of guy. And the reason is, because now they're having to back down and say, the reason why people don't like you saying assault rifle is you're too stupid that you don't know how the guns work. So just don't bring it up.
Right.
And so now they want you to be much more technical. And, of course, what that's going to lead to in the future is not going to be nice. I mean, we get this small victory. They're going to hate that. They're going to come after it, you know, with some forked tongue and a lot of hot breath. But the reality is this. They're going to end up having to say things like semi-automatic and explain what semi-automatic is in some cases to their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going
yes.
to set up somebody saying, okay, we can't stand semi-automatic, which maybe they should
point.
Have done that
Good
in the first
point.
Place.
Right.
Well, that wasn't
right.
mine. That was, I'm plagiarizing this from Armed American Radio, something I listen to regularly, hosted by Mark Walters and my favorite guy who's actually local to here. Is A.W.R. Hawkins with a doctorate in history. And
mm-hmm.
I have met both those people. I've shown you a picture of me, actually, with one arm
right.
around each one of them. Yep, last time the CPRC
yep,
was
seen
here.
It.
I was there. I was still trying to figure out what my purpose was in the 2A world at that time. I probably should have bought more stuff while they were here. But at least it was a bucket list thing. I wanted to meet those guys. They represent my thoughts very well about, you know, the rights of people to defend themselves with anything, a knife, words, anything. And believe me, words are probably my best, and I still use them. I love it, in fact. Anyway, long story short, everything that's out there is fake. What we're after is the truth. And to
yes.
get the truth, you're going to have to find, these days, a specialist in truth, kind of like a truth doctor, someone who can actually
That's right.
heal you from your woes of actually believing the BS that you believe, especially in America too long. If you really, really think,
God.
If you really, really think that the movies that you're watching are a reflection of American culture, it's like, I'm sorry, it's monkey see, monkey do. It's not monkey do the other way around. The tail's not wagging
mm-hmm.
the dog. They're wagging you. Yeah, they are the they
That's
are wagging
right.
your tail for you.
Now
yeah,
we're
if
talking.
You don't get that,
exactly.
if you don't
They're
understand,
wagging
if
you,
you
folks.
Understand that you need to protect that. You need to protect it from happening. And in my life, what I found that I've kind of, you know, when I look at my what I've done over the course of my life, I realized they fed me a lot of BS when I was young. And we all know this. We're young. We're like 5 years old, and out comes the Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the because I said so out of your parents. And you say, who believes
right.
in this junk? But all the parents are doing it. And so you just kind of take it under your wing. It's a technical thing that, you know, the parents are going to feed you some BS because for whatever reason they need to guide you. And you are willing to take that guidance to the closest thing you have to truth. Matter of fact, Focus on the Family did that. They actually studied this. The things that are tangible in this world, you assign to your mom. And the things that are more ethereal in this world, you assign to your dad as defaults. They're not,
that is
they're
true.
Not the end-all be-all.
Yes.
But it's like your first impression.
It's true.
And they found this to be true. So later on, when there's a gap, that something, like let's say your mom wasn't all there, you know, there's something about her, then you're going to hurry up and you're going to reassign that part of the physical world to that which she no longer is capable of representing. You know, that's what I'm saying. The truth doctor is going to come along and heal you where you've been sick. And so for me, I have no offense to my parents. I mean, I'm a bit, I've studied my personality. I'm a bit apathetical, and so is my daughter. She's got the same issue, ironically, and I'm her parent. But I understand it, and I actually respect it.
Surprise, surprise,
like
right?
yeah. Well, yeah, like father, like daughter, I guess, although the Enneagram's reversed, but it's still the same concept. Ambivalence, parents are there, but what we're really looking for to motivate us is the truth wherever we may find it. And so that I get that. I understand that. In my lifetime, I've probably reversed more junk that I've seen in movies and everything else. I still find occasionally little things that I say or do that tell me I haven't gotten all of that out of me yet. And I feel sad when that happens. It's like, darn. For example, sometimes I'll hold a straw or a pencil like I'm holding a cigarette and I've never smoked.
Right.
I saw it on TV when I was young. I know it's an impression that they put in there. And it does make me have some bitterness at the world. It's like, why did you guys do that to me? All you had to do is give me the truth. And, you know, and I find it in other ways, like the Bible, you know, honest relationships. A lot of relationships out if they weren't honest enough. And that's just, and so now I'm happier. I'm much more at peace because I understand what's going on. And this is what America needs to know. You're scared to death about, oh, I don't know, all the people that died of COVID. I was talking with a neighbor recently, and they're all worried. It's like, you know, dude's brother died of COVID. And I'm telling them, COVID? And they're thinking, you think it's a joke? The answer is, look, whatever killed him, killed him. I'm not worried about that. The truth is, they want, since they let the colds kill you, right? They were supposed to do something about that. They really didn't. They just called it nature. And or the flu or whatever, you know, the natural occurrences that are out there killing people, they want control over that. They obviously blew it, right? I mean, that's what governments do. They have to lie to tell you everything's just fine. We're in control still, aren't we? You're going like, yes, sir. No, you're not supposed to be in control. I am an American.
That's a good radio voice you just had for Irish.
Thank
you. Very, very good.
Yeah, the quote-unquote citizenry is supposed to be in control in America, and they're supposed
to
definitely be looking after these people like watchdogs. We were discussing that last, I think, about the weather, right? I mean, it's driving
you
nuts that they make a prediction, and somebody messes with the weather while you were in the process of making a prediction and making a career for yourself, if you're interested in meteorology. And then the next day, the weather isn't like what you just put out on the radio or the TV. And then you get really mad, and they've got a gag order in since 2015 telling you you're not allowed to talk about it. And what do you do?
Right.
And so I didn't know any of that until this year. I mean, 7 years since the gag order, you know, I mean, finally, it was Dane Wigington that actually blurted it out. And some of the stuff he puts out there is not true. Usually in the science department, not in the activist department.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he blames the government for is real. that's scary enough. But
right.
You know, then he says the reason why or the proof for it, he needs to work on that. But I will say this. When he said there's a gag order, he didn't say anything more. I said, oh, okay, that's my job. I, the American citizen, I, the consumer of knowledge that I am, good or bad, I'm going to find something, I'm curious about it, I'm going to find out about it. So I'm going to look it up. And by golly, I went out there, I looked it up, and it was real. Even on the internet, even on Wikipedia, they all admitted it. And we're like, wow, it was there.
God.
I mean, there's a lot of things that are shadow banned, including Von Weehunt.
Yes, I am. We, this show is shadow banned. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely, you hit a nail there.
Anyway. If you're not shadow banned,
right.
You don't deserve to talk to me either. But all my friends.
That's how I feel.
People,
exactly.
They just look at me. They look at me and blink. Like, you know, cashiers and, you know. It's crazy, but keep in mind, somebody said it, so why are 80% of all lawyers Democrats? That was a great comment. And next time we talk, for sure, we're going to talk Alex Jones, because I'm absolutely fed up with the mock trials of the upcoming one that will be for Donald Trump that they haven't indicted
for
yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Did I not predict that or what? Did I not predict that? I said they're going down this road of a criminal indictment against Trump and Alex Jones for both of those guys and anybody else that they want. But they want to fillet and have a human sacrifice of Donald J. Trump and Alex Jones. That to the left would be
like
utopia.
Yeah.
Just utopia.
But once they get them, they can easily come and get you, me, or anybody else, because these are the people that actually knew it was coming, represented it. And by the way, Alex Jones is coming out with a book, because that's what's going to cover his butt. I'm going to get a signed copy. You know I'm going to do that, Von Weehunt. I got a signed copy from you. I got a signed copy from all sorts of wonderful people out there. That's something I like to do. And part of it's the handwriting thing, which we'll leave alone for now. But the other interests that I have, what's happening with Alex Jones is I've never seen a more, what do I want to say? They've never thrown away more jurisprudence than this mock trial. It is just absolutely amazing what they're trying to do. And the answer is, I know there's nothing I can do about it. I can't just go down there and protest. Mm-hmm. But I can say, I'm going to show you, you know, on this program, probably don't have the time today, I'm sure, but I'm going to show you when it goes down exactly what happened. And I will quote to you where in the law it says that can't happen. We're going to do that. We're going to literally say, and the neat thing is they didn't shut the cameras off yet. It's still live video.
Yes.
Now, yeah. You can't get a hold of it like you want to, but they're going to shut them off maybe tomorrow. I mean, this is getting pretty stupid. They're really looking.
I love the Alex Jones show. Alex Jones is a great show. I actually invited him to come on my show a few times. I know he's a very busy man. He's got bigger fish to fry. And I invited him many moons ago. Never heard a word. But, again, he gets hundreds of inquiries a day.
I would love to get some of his crew on the show here, whether it be Rob Dew, Owen Schroyer, Harrison Smith, any of these guys. Even
they're awesome, too. Yeah, they're awesome.
Deal with them. I like Savannah Hernandez, for example.
I do, too.
Christy Lee, unlike Carrie Fake, was a former newscaster who came over for real to the right.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, we're waiting for that.
Well, that's for a different show and a different time.
Ballot.
We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go over my early ballot. I'm honestly going – I am wondering if this is a record for Fake. I really am. This is going to be so disgusting. That there may be,
well, a lot of people like her. Now, a lot of people like her because a lot of people – we'll talk about that maybe in the next show more. But there, you know, a lot of people feel that Robeson is a Pence puppet too. So because Pence came out to back her. So we have the Pence puppet. We have other people who are running. And it's a free-for-all. But we have to run tonight.
Yeah.
Well, Irish, keep those thoughts.
Keep it on summary.
We will talk about that next week, my friend.
They're twins.
Yes.
Yeah, those two are twins. That's why I can't tell them apart. I don't care who backed who.
There you go. And a lot of people feel that way, too. Love it. Irish, thanks so much, man. Have a great night. We'll talk soon. You know it.
Time. I absolutely love it. And enjoy those rest of those. You played a couple for my last fun pack. Keep going.
I will. I love your fun packs, man. They're the best. Yeah, our tech wizard, Irish Pirate, just provided the show with tech wizardry.
folks from Sea to Shining Sea. And we get these things from all over the place, and we play with them and edit them and tweak them a little bit, build up some bass or some audio, and make it into something different a little bit. So that way it's unique for the Von Weehan Show. Well, again, another stellar show. My God, I'm broadcasting from the West Coast of the United States in our future home of Valhalla Studios. Now, Valhalla Studios in the future will always be based in Arizona, but I am trying to get a West Coast satellite radio station, a pirate radio station, if you will. And we're among the there's fresh air up here. I need the fresh air to think clearly, pun intended. Beautiful redwoods. We have the coast. There's the Oregon coast. There's the Northern California coast. It's just got enough population to keep it interesting, but again, not overwhelming, as well as the traffic. Love the Pacific air. I like it a little nippy and cold personally. So the Valley, Arizona, will always be there. It's my base. Think of Arizona as my military base of operations. Think of the West Coast of America as my aircraft carrier out here on the Pacific, ready to strike at a moment's notice. Well, tonight, folks, you heard a lot of great callers, as usual. I have the smartest callers in the biz. And because of that, they get airtime. A lot of Rhino talk shows you listen to. They have a lot of callers, but they give them a minute, if at all, because they don't make any sense, and they just bluster the ego of the Rhino talk show host. My ego is intact and healthy, though everyone has an ego, and everyone deserves to have an ego boost from time to time. By all means, we got to have that. We're America, we're Team America. that's how we roll over here, right? But most of your talk radio shows, as I told you before, the Rhino shows, they talk a big game. They don't deliver. We know a lot of them listen to the show. A lot of them take notes, take copies. And by the way, we also have nefarious groups now listening more intently to the show, taking notes, things of that nature. We're aware of that situation, too. We're doing great. We are getting the word out. By the way, if you want to sponsor the Von Weehan Show with your widget service, I say this almost on every show, please contact me, VonWeehanShow@gmail.com, or call the show, reach me on the chat room, whatever, send me your text message or email or whatever. Just call the damn show. Be happy to talk to you. We have a lot of things that are happening to America. I say chin up. Keep your eyes wide open and be alert out there to anything at any time can happen. We still have possibly MK Ultra robot shooters that are out there. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. They're trying to stir up the population for civil unrest and more gun control and things of that nature. God forbid, keep safe out there. We always want safety for our people and especially for our Patriot listeners. We want the country to do better. We want to have better leaders, better government, federal, state, and local. We want our candidates, America First people, to get up there and to run and to win and to seize the day, carpe diem. We want things to be better in this country. So if you hear a criticism, it's not to put the country down. We're trying to build it up. But sometimes, as you well know in your own life, you've got to say the harsh truth. You've got to speak truth to power. You've got to have that courage in your gut, in your belly. You've got to speak your mind and get things off your chest. And that's what this show does famously. We allow Americans a platform to get things off their chest, to talk straight at the American people and look you in the eye and not wince and not blink. And for that, we salute you all. As I broadcast from the mountain stronghold somewhere along the coast of the western United States, as in Mexico, they say, Estados Unidos, señor. We're so glad to be here and be your great America First radio show tonight, your Patriot show. Thanks a lot. God bless you all. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Good night.